It's 23 minutes after the hour 4. Radio Veritas 576 AM is where you logged into. It's that station that gives you the good news and the good music for a change. And welcome to another edition of Changing Gear with me, Father Brian, and Dr. Charles. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Father.
Where have you been? It's been a while, hey?
Yeah, too long.
Mm-hmm.
Too long.
You look all warm and, is it cold?
The aircon, very cold, Father.
Dr. Charles, this afternoon we're going to be looking at Pentecost. We're going to be looking at how we can make Pentecost 2017 meaningful and a very deep and profound experience. Dr. Charles, what is your understanding of Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost?
From what I understand, it's the descent of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles and infilled them with all his gifts, and they spoke with tongues of fire in different languages. And the descent of the Holy Spirit, the pouring out of the Spirit on the people, which is what we should be seeking ourselves. Inviting the Holy Spirit into our hearts, minds, and souls. Yeah,
We are told that Pentecost is that feast. The church tells us that it's that feast which occurred 50 days after the Passover. So it means 50 days after Christ died. So meaning this feast this year is going to be celebrated on the 4th of June. And parishes, dioceses have organized a lot of things for themselves, for their people. And I thought, you know what, with all these things that are going to be happening, let's talk about it. And what do you make of this feast? What do you make of your relationship with the Holy Spirit?
I think it's a time to reflect on the Holy Trinity. But in particular, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity. I think from what I understand, the Holy Trinity wants us to have relationships with the individual persons of the Trinity, with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit.
Mm. I'd like us to go back to Scripture, because when we read in Scripture, especially in the Acts of the Apostles, we are told that when the day of Pentecost came, all the disciples were gathered in one place, and we're told they were gathered in fear. And suddenly a sound came from heaven, which was like a mighty thunder. We're told that it filled the whole house where all the people were sitting. And then it appeared to them tongues of fire, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit.
That's right, yes.
And they started speaking in tongues.
Yes, they started speaking. I think they also, tongues is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But from what I think, they were also speaking the different languages that they hadn't spoken before. Mm. And everyone understood them.
Is that what the Holy Spirit does?
Well, that's a rare, I've heard of one story where Fernanda actually was invited to speak at a church, and there were a lot of Zulu people there. Mm-hmm. And she knows a little bit, but not well. And she went and she spoke in fluent Zulu. The Holy Spirit just took over.
But so the Holy Spirit spoke as Zulu. Oh, my God. That's it, listeners. Hey, don't play with the Spirit, people. But so here we have a Portuguese woman speaking as Zulu, and she's never spoken
in
Zulu.
And she got a standing ovation afterwards, yeah.
Wow. Interesting how the Spirit works. Yeah.
But the Spirit, he can do anything. You
know? Who is the Holy Spirit? Let's talk about the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit?
He's depicted as the dove. He descends like a dove. But he is a person. You know what I mean? But we depict him as the dove, the Holy Spirit, in the Scriptures. Mm. So he comes from heaven. He descended on Jesus when Jesus was got baptized by Saint John the Baptist, and then straight after that Jesus went off into the desert to fast. He was led by the Spirit into the desert. So
you keep referring to the Holy Spirit as he. You're personifying the Holy Spirit, and you're giving it a gender.
Yes.
And Scripture, we've got traces of the Holy Spirit being referred to as Lady Wisdom in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament. Does the Holy Spirit have a gender?
Yes, I believe he has. What informs you? I haven't studied the Lady Wisdom verses. So I can't comment on that.
Okay, but I would like to understand why you subscribe in the Holy Spirit. Why you given the Holy Spirit? I don't think the Holy Spirit even has gender. We can, for communication's sake, we could use he or she. But I'll give you why I'm thinking along those lines. Because the Holy Spirit is the third person or entity of the Trinity. And it doesn't have a gender. It's gender neutral.
Look, I'm going from the divine messages that we're getting through Fernanda that always refer to him as a he.
Mm.
And just the same with Jesus and the Father. And Mother Mary is the she. So
that's given. That much we know. But she's not part of the Trinity.
Yeah.
So the feminine aspect of God.
So the Trinity is male.
But has
the feminine. But I'm sure has the Mother Mary. Mother Mary is an image of the Holy Trinity, but the feminine.
Okay.
Just like we, yeah. Some look. I'm no theologian.
Okay. No. I'm just thinking of it because we talk in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
But it's okay for anyone or any person of faith to refer to the Holy Spirit as her, because she's Lady Wisdom. Why? Wisdom is personified as female in Scripture. Yeah.
If you feel that way, it's fine. I think the important thing is to focus on what the Holy Spirit brings, the gifts and the fruits.
Okay, but before we get to the gifts of the fruits,
yes,
we cannot understand and appreciate the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit if we don't understand the embodiment of that Spirit, you see. But anyway, let's get into the Holy Spirit. Because where's the Spirit? Is it somewhere in heaven? Because we're told when Christ said, he says, I'm going to my Father to make a place for you. Yes. I am not leaving you as orphans.
Yes.
He says, I'm gone, goodbye. But guess what? You will not be alone.
That's right.
And he says, I will send you the Spirit to be with you. So the question that I could ask this afternoon is, where is the Spirit? Is she or he with us here? Or
he's in us. He's infused in us at birth. So we all have the Holy Spirit infused in us.
Mm.
And it's we choose to either be obedient to his voice or not. So I think he's very much linked to our conscience as well.
So we're not abandoned, because sometimes
no.
People get the impression that God abandoned when Christ ascended into heaven.
Yes.
He sort of abandoned us. And yes, he did say, I am giving you the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And the question would say, where is the Spirit? Is it still, theologically we are told it was given to us at Pentecost.
Yes, you see, that's the strength.
But did it just happen there and then and finish? Or it's something that continues to happen?
Yeah, look, you get different. So when we're born, we have the Holy Spirit in us.
Mm-hmm.
It's infused in us. When we get baptized, he strengthens. Our shield against evil strengthens.
Mm-hmm.
When we have our first our confirmation, it gets stronger and our gifts come more and more to the fore.
Mm-hmm.
If we go to Life in the Spirit seminars, for example, the Holy Spirit comes, and on the night of the day, they have the baptism of the Holy Spirit on those seminars. I don't know if you've attended any, but they're very powerful. Again, the strength, it gets stronger and stronger. The gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
I can dig out some messages related to that if you want. Mm. So yeah, I think it's a journey with the Spirit.
Mm.
When we go against the Spirit,
mm,
we are hurting Jesus.
Mm.
Jesus also enters us through Holy Communion.
Mm.
That is the body of Christ. Jesus enters us. So we have the Spirit and we have the... But he'll only stay if we're in a state of grace. Otherwise, he'll step aside. But mm-hmm. he'll be with us. He won't abandon us.
Mm.
So I think that pretty much sums it up. Yeah.
Why do you think the Feast of Pentecost is referred to by the Church as the day of the final revelation?
Look, I haven't thought about that. You put me on the spot.
All right.
But look, there will be the pouring, the outpouring of the Spirit, especially in these end times. And I think when we are confronted with the full truth through the Holy Spirit, that's the full truth, and we are revealed our sins and you know, everything that we've done, you know. So we often we've got blinkers on our eyes often because of the sin brings in the blinkers. The evil spirits come to confuse. But I think we do get a moment of clarity, and it's probably when we move on into the next life we get to see it all. And we can see it all here, obviously, the closer we get to the Holy Trinity as well.
And how then do we recognize the Spirit being active amongst us?
This God's love permeating through people. You know, you'll see the joy. So the fruits. These are the fruits of the Spirit, which I will I'll read for you. It's charity. This is I need to find out which verse it is, but it's in Isaiah, I think. But I'll get the exact verse where it's mentioned. That's a Galatians, sorry. This is in Galatians. Isaiah talks about the gifts of the Spirit, but the fruits of the Spirit. So this is how we'll know if the Spirit's around.
Okay. Before we talk about the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, what is the difference? What is the distinction between a fruit and a gift?
Okay.
Without getting into the...
A fruit you eat and a gift is a present. The fruit is how it manifests through you. Do you have the joy? Do you have the love? It's manifesting through you. A gift is a gift. Do you understand? Do you talk in tongues? Do you have the gift of healing? Do you have the gift of miracles? Do you understand what I'm saying? So those are more gifts. They're presents that the Holy Spirit gives you. And we're all different. We all have different gifts. And together we make up the whole body. We're different parts of the body. We have different gifts. But the fruits should be are constant through all of us. We must have the joy, the peace, the love, the faithfulness, the modesty, the self-control. Those are the fruits. Those are set. And you can judge them by their fruits. You know, like in the scriptures, Jesus says, you judge by the fruits. Does he have the fruits of the Spirit? Yes or no? And when they have the opposite of the fruits, so the Spirit brings peace, love, joy, calm, patience. If someone's impatient, if they don't have peace, they're anxious, and they're depressed, they don't have the fruits of the Spirit.
And if they're wretched and ghetto?
So, and the Spirit is promised to every human being, you know? And we can all do it. If Jesus made it very clear. He says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Then I will make my home in you. In other words, the Holy Spirit will come and abide in you, okay? Then I'll answer all your prayers and I'll reveal myself to you. The problem is, he's referring also to Jesus making his home. We block it. We block the Spirit in us.
Wow.
Because we're not obedient.
Let's take a break. 100%. Let's take a break. And when we come back from the break, I'd like us to talk about how we block the Holy Spirit and the blockages that prevent us from experiencing the Spirit in our lives, in our work, and in our families. It's 24 minutes before the hour 5. Radio Veritas 576 AM is where you're at. And it's Changing Gear with me, Father Brian. I'm joined in the studio by Dr. Charles Pritchard. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit. I'll be opening the lines at 5. And you can share with us your experiences of the Holy Spirit. Mhlawumbe, you're one of those that speaks in tongues. Tell us, what happens when you're speaking in tongues? If at all you think, if you're really speaking in tongues. What have people told you? You're maybe one of those people who has that gift of foreseeing things. What do you see, and how does the message come? Tell us, share with us, and how has that gift been received by your church, by your local community, and the people in your family and around you? Do not touch that dial.